stories are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning. You have tuned into KFAR's Problem Corner, 660 AM, 97.5 FM, and this is Mike Prox filling in for David Pruse. And today we are going to, it's kind of an open line again. I kind of like that. Yesterday we did really good work on childcare together. So we're going to work together again this morning. And if you want to call in, the number is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And this morning, kind of what's on my mind is the local elections. They are coming up sooner than we expect. So we need to talk about what's going on with the local, borough, and city elections. And once again, I think whatever is on your mind is fair game this morning. The number to call in is 458-8255. And so, yes, we are having borough elections. Going to be, they always fall on the first Tuesday in October. And this year, that would be October 3rd. And we've got a slate of borough assembly candidates. Three seats are open. There are seats open on the city council, Fairbanks City Council, and on the North Pole City Council. And there's a couple of ballot propositions that are on. One of them has to do with expanding the borough's health powers, I guess would be the right term, to accept some COVID funding. And then there's another proposition to give a tax break to farmers. And that one's, both of those are, there's details, nuances in there. But the first part of this is knowing when the election takes place and how we can vote. And of course, it's October 3rd is the election day, and the polls will be open if you want to vote in person. And I would recommend anyone that isn't sure of where you need to go to vote, how you want to vote, the options that are available, or get more information about the candidates, that's all available on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Clerk's websites under the election information tab, I believe, is where I found that. And so the start of it is the vote, in-person vote, is October 3rd. Prepare for that. And then the other options, you can vote, well, they call it early voting or absentee voting in person. It really pretty much amounts to the same thing. That is going to be, you're going to be able to do that from September 8th through the 28th. That's the week before the election. The borough is setting up a voting station, if you will, at the Shoppers Forum Mall. That's at 1255 Airport Way. And early voting opens September 18th. They're going to be open from 9 a.m. to 6 a.m. So if you're in town, it makes sense to stop by the Shoppers Forum and vote. So you don't forget about it on Tuesday. Then the, I think, now they make a note here on the borough's page that it's open September 24th, which is a Sunday, from 10 to 6. And I guess that falls in between the 18th and the 28th. So it's open for about 2 weeks. You can also vote absentee or in person at the City of Fairbanks, the City Hall, which is between Sadler's and the State Office Building. I think that's between 6th and 7th or 7th and 8th. I forget. Front's right on Cushman. And, yes, I do forget. It is the other side of the State Building in the old main high school. And you can vote in person, absentee, at the Fairbanks City Hall in both the borough elections and the city election. You can take care of that there if you live inside the city limits of Fairbanks. And there's going to be a polling station also open at the clerk's office in the city of North Pole if you live within the city of North Pole and want to participate in that local election. And both of those will have ballots for the borough-wide election as well. So if you're in the city of Fairbanks or the city of North Pole and you think you might forget to vote on election day for whatever reason and you've made up your mind, stop in and cast your vote early. Then it's done. The other option to vote is an absentee ballot. And you can do that. The process for absentee voting is that you have to send in an application for an absentee vote, or excuse me, an absentee ballot to the borough clerk's office. The local elections are run by the borough clerk. And so it's different than the state. The State Division of Elections does not conduct the local elections. So if you want to vote absentee, you can print an application off. If you want to mail it in, you can go down to the borough clerk's office, pick up an absentee ballot application, and fill it out right there, or you can send it in over the internet from the borough clerk's office. Just Google Fairbanks North Star Borough Clerk, and their page will come up, and you'll find the election information from the borough clerk's page. So you can apply for an absentee ballot today, anytime between now and if you're going to apply by mail, the clerk has to have received your absentee ballot application by the 26th. So if you're going to apply for an absentee ballot by mail, be sure and do that. Oh, I would say give them at least a week for the mail to get from your house to the borough clerk's, because the mail goes through Anchorage now. And even though it's only going across the street, it has to go all the way to Anchorage, and that can take a few days. So be sure and get that in. Plenty of time for the borough clerk to process that and send the ballot to you. And the deadline for them for a mail-in ballot application is September 26th. If you send it by fax or an electronic application, that can be done all the way up until the day before the election. But don't wait. Get that done soon so that you have that set up and you have time to do that at your leisure and not at the last minute like I do everything, because you tend to forget it. So if you're going to vote, but you don't, if you intend to vote, but you don't know for sure that you're going to be here for whatever reason, take advantage of the absentee voting process. Then it is, we'll be sure that your vote does count. And that's really quite important. The turnout in local elections is usually pretty low. In the neighborhood of only 20% of the population is turning out to vote. And if it's a split election, that means that 10% of the residents make the decision of who's going to represent them, and that's a bit of a shame. We should do better than that. It is very important. Local elections are every bit as important as a presidential election because that's what we have the most control over and the best opportunity to influence the outcome. And then stay in touch with your people that are elected. And let's see, we have got a quarter past the hour, so I think I will take a break here and here go to some messages from our sponsors. And we will be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Supply Company on Van Horn Road. The only Alaska-owned full-line wholesale distributor of plumbing, heating, industrial piping, waterworks, and mining products for over 30 years. Sure, they're big enough to handle the supply needs of pipelines and gold mines, but they're personable enough to help you with your needs as well. Frontier Supply Company, for all of your plumbing and heating needs on Van Horn Road, online at frontiersupply.com. That's Frontier Supply Company.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Barrett McCombie with an update on fishing in Valdez. Anglers are catching silvers at Allison Point in increasing numbers, while boaters are having success trolling out near Applegate, Crafton, and Perry Islands. In the final 2 weeks of the derby, anglers should be seeing a lot of silver salmon in Port Valdez, but only time will tell if those fish are big enough to win the $10,000 first place prize in the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby. There are daily first and second place prizes in the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby, and the daily winners have been in the 10 to 12 pound range the last few weeks. The largest silver salmon caught so far in the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby was caught by Levon Basinger back on August 4th. Basinger reeled in a 14.54 pound silver salmon aboard her private boat, the Fixed Income. Greg Roberts of Parkland County, Alberta, Canada is currently in second place overall with a 12.28 pound silver salmon he caught on August 17th. And James Little of New Dale, Idaho, is currently in third place with a 12.12 pound silver salmon he caught on August 16th. In the Valdez Halibut Derby, Jim Jack of Lacey, Washington is still in the lead with a 252 pound halibut he caught back on July 28th. Troy Dolge of Copper Center, Alaska is currently in second place overall with a 203 pound halibut he caught on June 4th. And Maren Russman of Earhart, Minnesota is holding on to third place with a 195.4 pound halibut she caught on July 26th.
Go fishing, Valdez! Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenah Drive. And if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze!
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Overcast today, highs around 66. West winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 50. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Highs around 67. Cloudy. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. And thank you to the sponsors of the programs. They're the ones that enable this to happen. And we always want to give them a shout out, and if you go into any of those businesses, let them know that you heard about them on KFAR. And this is Mike Prox. I am filling in for David Prus this morning, and we're talking about the local elections, and I'm counting on people to call in and help out. So if you have any comments about the local elections, please give us a call at 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And before the break, we were talking about the need to get out and vote. As I said previously, the voter turnout in the borough or for a local election is generally pretty light. There's only about 20% of the people turn out to vote. And if it's an important thing. The local budgets, which ultimately affects our local tax rates, are set by the local governments. And the we have the school board. There's three seats open on the school board this year. They set policy. They approve the school curriculum. And, of course, they set the school district budget, which is the biggest line item budget for the borough government, for the local borough. And there's three seats are open, and that will probably make a big difference. The turnout of this election will make a big difference on the direction that the school board takes. We just heard yesterday the new superintendent was at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon, and I think that's a good move. We got to give kudos to the school board for, I think, choosing a very effective leader. Seems to have a lot of experience, and he has the right attitude that we have to set goals, measure goals, and reach goals. And that's how the system works. And hopefully the school board will support him in that effort and get the administration and the teachers behind the new school district superintendent. And, of course, that education is the most important service that is provided by the local governments, and we need to pay close attention to who's serving. And I have a phone call. Thank you for calling. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
With Randy.
Randy, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm particularly concerned about the borough election that's coming up. I'm hoping that we can maintain the slim conservative majority that we have. I'm hoping that people will vote for Tammy Wilson and Jimmy Cash and Aaron, whatever his last name is.
Gibson.
Gibson, yeah,
yes.
Yes. The reason I'm concerned about this is because of the Climate Action and Adaptation Plan. Mm-hmm. The left-leaning folks would like to pass. And the reason I'm concerned about that, not that the borough has a whole lot of power to manhandle us and put too many onerous regulations, I guess I could, but I'm also concerned about the GVEA board election and who gets on there. I know that's not coming up, but the reason I'm very concerned about that is because there's left-leaning folks there that would like to get rid of Ely 1 coal plant, I believe. We don't have the votes to do that, but we absolutely depend here at the end of the road in midwinter, frozen north, at the end of nowhere where we are. We depend on coal power, and we depend on the university plant and also the other plant that's in town. And I'm afraid that if the borough swings left and they pass that climate action and adaptation plan, that could lead to some support for, you know, some bad people getting onto the GVA board and getting rid of our coal plant, which would leave us high and dry. Mm-hmm. And I know people are concerned about the amount of carbon dioxide that's in the atmosphere worldwide, you know, has slightly increased. But whatever we do here in the interior has absolutely no effect on the worldwide concentration of carbon dioxide. And so that would do no good. And people are serious, in my view, if serious about doing something about trying to reduce carbon dioxide, they should strongly support nuclear power.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my view.
So that's your view. Well, good. Good point. And you're correct. I was not too enthused about the climate action plan that was proposed. I forget, that got modified, and a lot of that was taken out. And I think there are certain things that we can do. Roughly, the local governments are in a response position, and it's worth thinking about energy efficiency and things of that nature. But then they do get into supporting or opposing. The assembly weighs in on those issues. things like you're talking about, whether to go with Golden Valley's shutting down. Actually, it's Healy 2 is the one that they're proposing to shut down. But then, yes, there are some people that are just completely anti-coal. And coal is not well understood, like a lot of things about climate change are not well understood. But the coal plant is, the second least expensive source of power for the Golden Valley customers right now. That gets into a long debate too. We get some of our power from the Bradley Lake Hydro project. Comes up all the way from Homer, and there's a tie line, a transmission line all the way from Homer that serves everybody on the rail belt. But we get power from that. But the second least expensive source of power, electric power, for the Golden Valley customers is, in fact, coal. And those both of those plants are relatively clean. The Healy 2 plant has had some operational problems. There's no question about that, because that was a Frontier design, if you will, for fluidized combustion. But, they're thinking about closing that down, and also there's a good effort to just plain eliminate coal altogether in favor of renewable sources of energy. And we got to really think that one through. So far, we have, I forget the percentage, but there's quite a bit of power coming from renewable sources. But the drawback of renewable sources is that they're not as steady. The windmills produce power when the wind blows, and solar cells produce power when the sun shines. And if you get a cloud coming over, they might go from, a solar panel might go from 100% production down to 30 or 40%. And if you have enough of that on your grid, you have to have some other source of power available, spinning reserve, they call that, to take up the voltage drops and provide the extra current. And a kind of an odd thing, and I don't know, I haven't talked with Golden Valley in the last 6 months about this, but what Golden Valley was facing with expanding, putting more renewable power, is that variability. And so they've had to keep the diesel, petroleum-fired generators. They've got a couple of big turbine generators out in North Pole. But they keep those generators online, not running at 100% power, and they have to back off the production from their coal plant, because the coal plant doesn't respond to changes in load as rapidly as a turbine-fired plant. So they're running the generators out at North Pole at reduced, less than 100% capacity, and the efficiency of a turbine engine, the usable power output, drops off considerably. And that is the most expensive. So we are backing off on the least expensive, and we're keeping a relatively expensive source of power going. And that doesn't make a lot of sense from the perspective of the rates. And more importantly, it doesn't make a lot of sense from the perspective of reducing greenhouse gas emissions. We're essentially kind of in the same place. And so, yeah, those are the things we've got to pay attention to. And stay on top of. And you're right, with the utility as well. There are people that show up at Golden Valley board meetings every meeting, and they're promoting that. And we need to get an alternative point of view. Randy, I hear the music starting to play. And that means the satellite is overhead, and it's going to take over control of the program. So we have got to take a break if you want to stay on. We're going to hear from some Fox News and some weather and some news. Here's from our sponsors. And we will be right back after we do that. So stay with us.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Russian state media is reporting Wagner mercenary chief Yevgeny Prigozhin, who led a brief insurgency against Russian President Vladimir Putin, was one of 10 people aboard a jet that crashed while on a trip from Moscow to St. Petersburg, killing the passengers and crew.
There is some video evidence that has appeared on Telegram and on Twitter suggesting that a Russian air defense system may have shot down the private jet and that Prigozhin was on board.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin at the Pentagon. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, one of the 8 GOP presidential hopefuls set to take part in tonight's Milwaukee primary debate on Fox News, was hospitalized briefly after injuring his leg while playing a game of pickup basketball.
The injury makes it unclear if Burgum will be able to stand at the debate.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland and Senator Lisa Murkowski met with Alaska Native leaders, local and state law enforcement on Tuesday for a roundtable discussion at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. Garland participated in an earlier roundtable discussion in Galena before arriving in Anchorage. Garland announced millions of dollars in grants through the Justice Department's Office of Victims of Crime to help fight crime in rural areas, with $22 million headed to 67 tribal communities in Alaska. He also spoke about the framework of a pilot program that helps tribes exercise jurisdiction and address the Department of Justice's effort to help solve the crises of missing and murdered Indigenous women in the state. Alaska Native families and communities have endured persistently high levels of violence, and that women and girls have borne the brunt of that violence, Garland said. We are here today to reaffirm the Justice Department's commitment to working across the federal government and with Alaska Native communities to meet these urgent challenges.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This week's 50-50 Friday deal is North Star Honey Wagon, Fairbanks' newest septic pumping team. With those incredible new shiny trucks and the latest equipment, they can have your system cleaned out in no time, and you can get it done at half price. And although they clean out septic systems all year round, get it done before the snow flies at half price. North Star Honey Wagon, the septic guys, this week's 50-50 Friday offer.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Okay, and thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, and 97.5 FM. And your guest host this morning is Mike Brox. I'm filling in for David Prues. And we have kind of an open mic today. We're talking about, so far, local elections. And we brought up the topic of, we kind of expanded quite a bit, Golden Valley and our local electric utility and climate change. Whatever is on your mind, you're going to help out if you call in and let us know what's on your mind. And the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-8255. Talk. And so, yes, we were talking about the electric utility, electric rates. That gets in just to kind of follow up on that conversation with Randy. There is obviously a national movement, I wouldn't even call it a movement. We're going to call it a mandate. Call it what it is, to transition away from using basically hydrocarbon fuels and going to what are called renewable sources of power. And that is a very big deal that we need to pay attention to. And pay attention at the local utility level, pay attention at the state level, because state policy, there's quite a few proposals before the legislature, and we'll be going back in January to hash those out. But proposals to transition away from hydrocarbon fuels and towards what are called renewable sources of power. And really the transition, the way I think we need to think about it is you have to have mechanical equipment to either capture the energy from hydrocarbon fuel, which is fairly energy dense and takes relatively little mechanical equipment to produce that power. To the renewable sources, solar or wind takes a lot more minerals and et cetera, and we've got to really think about the source of those minerals. That's going to be the problem. We have another caller, so we'll go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFR, and who am I speaking with?
Good morning, Mr. Prax. My name is Mike, just like yours.
All right.
So I wouldn't mind if you repeated what you said about 5 minutes ago before the break about running the turbines at 80% power and something else is running. I didn't quite catch it all, but then I want to add that, you know, like you said, there's people going to board meetings and annual meetings and really pushing for this renewable energy and mm-hmm. getting rid of the pollution type energy. So I think, and Golden Valley is supposed to take direction from the board. So the board needs to set up a policy where people can sign up for all renewable. So their power will only come at their house, you know, or even their place of business, only comes from renewable energy. And if that's not available, then they just do without power for that period of time. Maybe that'll help educate these otherwise really stupid people about just how much we can depend on renewable power for our day-to-day needs in this area. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay.
Repeat what you said earlier for me.
Well, yes, the challenge with renewable energy, and this is primarily wind and solar, but to a certain extent they're talking about tidal power and run of river hydro systems, etc., is that they do not, and it's impossible for them to operate at 100% capacity. So you have to build a system, typically a really good system is about 30%, if you will, reliable. And that's just the physics of, and the weather. The weather changes. The wind picks up, the wind dies down. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, clouds come over, etc. So it is it's unstable from the point of view of running the entire power grid. And so what you either have to have a considerable investment in batteries of some sort to provide that, keep the power steady whenever the sun is not shining or the wind is not blowing, so that you can have steady power output. And batteries at this point add a considerable amount of capital cost, and they require a considerable amount of minerals. We are getting close right now to the peak mineral production for copper and lead and zinc and the rare earth minerals and all of that, because you have to have more minerals to build the windmill. There's a lot more minerals involved in a windmill per megawatt output or kilowatt output, however you want to measure it, or solar panel. Same thing, a lot more upfront investment in the equipment to make that power.
Okay, but didn't you say they're running, Golden Valley is running the turbine power plant in North Pole at only 80% capacity to supposedly save fuel, but that's not really working that way? Is that what you were saying?
No, and there's a couple of things. They have to run a generator that is able to respond almost instantaneously. And a coal-fired plant, they generate steam. There's a lot of inertia in a coal-fired plant. There's a lot of inertia in a hydropower plant. So they are what are called base load generation. And so Golden Valley keeps turbo generators on in North Pole to handle the swings in the load. And if you're running a turbo generator, you want to run it up to like 90% of rated output because it doesn't take any more fuel to keep the machine running. It takes quite a bit of fuel just to make a turbine what they call self-sustained. Pass enough air through it, compress a bunch of air so that it burns properly, etc. And then once you go past the self-sustaining, the rest of the fuel goes to power output. But if you back it off and you're running it at 70 or 80% power, you're way down on the efficiency curve for that generator. So, but you have to run it in that area. And then once to get the thing to run right and burn cleaner, they want to put the load on the, to get it in that range. And so in order to do that, Golden Valley has to back off the output from the either hydropower from Bradley Lake, what they're buying out of Bradley Lake, or out of the coal-fired plants in Healy. There's two of them online right now. There's some others in Fairbanks right now. The University, Fort Wainwright, and Eielson run coal-fired plants. But
okay, I got to go, Mike. I'll listen on the radio.
All right, very good. Yeah. Bye. So we've got a really silly situation where we've invested in these renewable sources, and they do. I won't say they're a complete waste. When they're generating, they do generate relatively inexpensive power. The problem is that they're not steady, and we're effectively burning almost as much hydrocarbon from, in order to keep steady power coming out of these renewable power sources. And it is, in my mind, it is certainly very inefficient as far as the cost of power. Our electricity rates are higher than they need to be, and we are really not accomplishing the environmental goals that we say that we are. There's, you know, in up here there's a big move to go to electric vehicles, and the same problem is going to occur. Right now, you might say that an electric vehicle is really a coal-powered vehicle or indirectly a hydrocarbon-powered vehicle, because the source of the power that runs that car is either coal or diesel fuel or natural gas. We're also buying power from the Beluga power plants down in Anchorage, and they're natural gas fired. But we don't have nearly enough alternative power available and usable to make this a practical alternative today. Now, people are working on that, I'll grant you that. And in some areas, it works better than others, but it is something that we need to stay on top of, because there are a lot of people who are very zealous about, very concerned, and that's rightly so. I don't blame them for being concerned, but they're very zealous about making a forced transition off of hydrocarbon power into these renewable sources. And if we go about that too fast in a forced fashion, we are setting ourselves up for some big surprises in probably just a few years. And I don't think that is getting adequate consideration. Very difficult. complicated, many factors into the equation, and we need to think about it and not just have our idea. And the more people we can get out to a board meeting to pressure the board to do what we want them to do is not a very good way of doing business. And we do need to pay more attention to the Golden Valley board meetings. And I'm sorry, I don't remember off the top of my head. They meet once a month. I don't remember what the day is, but you can go on Golden Valley's website and look that information up. And take the time to inform yourselves of the options that are available. There are definitely some ways to go about this. There are some projects that make more sense than others, and there are some really big projects in the works, some of which will work out, and some of them are very ill-considered. And we need to be informed, because policy is set by those who show up. And so if you're concerned about your electric bill or your taxes or whatever, it is well worth your time to stay on top of it and to engage in that conversation and to read, really, both sides. There, like I say, there are some programs that make more sense than others, and some of them I think are viable in a few years, and that few years might be a decade. We should be moving in that direction. I am all for looking at alternatives to providing energy. I forgot his name. A friend of mine used to always say, we didn't advance out of the Stone Age because of a shortage of stones. We advanced out of the Stone Age because we sat down and thought about it and came up with a better alternative. And it makes sense to do that for our energy uses. I don't know. We can debate till the cows come home whether the what they now call climate change is human-caused. How much of that is human-caused? I don't know. That's way beyond me. But I am I am certainly not averse to considering some alternatives. Excuse me. And we got to look at that. We got to think about that and make some sensible choices. But right now, we have to take a break and listen to some messages from the sponsors of our program. And so we will do that, and we will be right back. So please stay with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It can happen so easily. A few drinks become a few too many. It's time to go, and you think of calling for a ride home. What's the worst that could happen? You get pulled over. You lose your license. You total your car. You kill someone. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
It can happen easily. A few drinks becomes a few too many. It's time to go and you think of calling for a ride home. Nah, what's the worst that could happen? You get pulled over, you lose your license, you total your car, you kill someone. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
Did you know that hot weather is worse for your car than cold? It's true. Extreme heat can evaporate your battery's fluids and cause corrosion. If you're having a hard time starting your engine, visit Batteries Plus. We'll test your battery free of charge. We have plenty of replacement batteries on hand. Plus, we offer installation on most makes and models, or upgrade to premier installation for added protection. Stop by your nearest location or shop our selection online at batteriesplus.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Highs around 66 this afternoon. Under cloudy skies, winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 50. Cloudy skies. Highs level off around 67 tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Low 60s Friday and Saturday with scattered showers both days. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. This is Mike Prox, your guest host this morning for KFAR's Problem Corner. I'm filling in for David Pruse. And we have been talking about local elections that are coming up. And we had pretty good conversations about the renewable energy and the importance of staying on top of the folks that represent us on the Golden Valley Co-op and the folks that represent us on the Borough Assembly, on the school board, and on the city councils of Fairbanks and the city of North Pole. And trying to encourage people to be sure and vote. That we have, 6 weeks, I think, before the election, give or take. The election happens on October the 3rd. But take the time to check into the candidates that are on the ballot and make an informed choice. And most importantly, get out there and make sure that your voice is heard by voting. And you can do that. You know, if you're dead certain you're going to be in town and able to vote on October 3rd, you can vote in person. If there's any doubt in your mind that you might not be able to vote or you just want to be sure you don't forget about it, apply for an absentee ballot and you can vote absentee anytime. You can apply anytime between now and September 26th to get your ballot sent back to you, and you do that by contacting the borough clerk. And then when you get the ballot back, you can vote it, and it's all done. You can go think about something else. And we have a caller. Good morning. You're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with?
Good morning to you. This is Eve. And I'd like to add something that came on my laptop recently, and on Friday I'll give you more details and facts and the article exactly. But it said that the energy needed to make these steel, what we called in Holland American windmills, the energy needed to make them, to transport the materials, etc., 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 not to speak even of maintenance and their 20-year lifespan, the energy needed to make them and set them in motion, etc., is more than the windmill can provide for its lifetime. And I was shocked.
Right.
Because in the North Sea, where once in so many years I fly towards Amsterdam, there's a huge wind park, and they are talking in Holland, of course, for more and more wind parks. They're ugly. They're really ugly. But it seems to make very little sense.
Yes, and you bring up another very good point. You have to look at the total life cycle cost and the total life cycle consumption of energy to make something or to make renewable power. And when that is factored in, it begins to look a whole lot less attractive.
Yeah.
And that is really being covered up. That
But flying over North Sea, the Channel, to think in terms of the rust that will eventually appear and the maintenance alone.
Right.
Because whenever you are on land and see them go, out of 20, there are always two or three not working.
Right. Yes.
And on Big Island, Hawaii, about 25 years ago, I saw a deserted wind park with about 20 of those mills completely rusted, salt water, completely rusted, and sitting there. And then what? Anyway, right. I'll hang up now.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for calling. Yes, she brings up brings up a very good point that you have to look at the total life cycle cost of anything. And in the case of renewable energy projects, those that are funded through grants that cost, the upfront, the capital cost is not taken into consideration, and nor is the depreciation expense the maintenance expense is taken into consideration on the rates, but the depreciation expense is not taken into consideration. So what's going to happen in 20 years when these things reach the end of their life? There isn't a sufficient reserve set aside to replace the equipment, and the utility is in a pickle. And we are not paying, I'm very concerned about this on the state level, we are not paying attention to the capital cost of something. We do everything by a bond or we look for a grant, and then we don't look 20 years down the road when that machine reaches the end of its life. And that is a huge consideration. We're sailing along fat, dumb, and happy, and 20 years from now, we are going to face a big expense if we don't factor that in to our decision upfront. So another reason to pay attention to what is going on and where decisions are made and where to get your input into those decisions. And that is at public meetings. It only goes so far to complain on Facebook. We just get more and more depressed. Take the time, inform yourself of what's going on, listen to both sides, take everything into consideration, and participate, because policy is made by those who show up. So, with that, we have a few minutes left here. There are two ballot propositions, borough propositions, that will be on the local ballot this October. October 3rd is the election. One of them is to give the borough additional health power to accept opioid money. And the other has to do with giving a tax break for structures for farms. And both of those need careful consideration, and we might be doing that. I have a call. Good morning. You're on KFR. And who am I speaking with?
This is Charles.
Charles, what's on your mind?
I just remembered that Golden Valley bought a huge bank of batteries years ago.
Right.
And they were from France especially or something, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was probably a bad idea, but who knows? I don't know what the real result was. Didn't keep track.
Right. The purpose of that was to have what the spinning reserve spent by a battery, and I think it was supposed to be able to supply Fairbanks for 15 or 20 minutes if they lost the intertie and prevent outages. And I guess it did serve that purpose. But there again, that was done with a grant that wasn't factored into the utility rates that we pay, and there was no extra. It's insurance, which you need, but that wasn't factored in. And now those batteries, as a case in point, are reaching the end of their useful life and have to be replaced. And Golden Valley's either going to have to find a grant somewhere, which now there's billions of dollars available, so I suppose they'll do that. But that has to be taken into consideration. Thank you. All right. Thank you for calling. And I'm hearing the music in the background. That means that we are reaching the end of the show, and the satellite's going to come over and take over control of the program for some national programming that is coming up. But I thank everyone that called in today. Thank you for tuning in, for listening, and keeping up on what's going on. And you're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, and you have a great day.
The heartbeat of Alaska.
The doctor will decide if he makes the debate. Lisa Brady, Fox News. One of the eight Republicans due on a Fox debate stage 5 hours from now in Milwaukee is injured. North Dakota.